10, 9. Ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
That's one small step for man, one giant hop for out here having a pint.
Welcome to Out Air Having a Pint. Kelsey is to my right, and oh my God, Kelsey, I say this, I'm really saying this quite often. It is about time that we are doing a podcast. It's podcast day, it's podcast day. All right, Kelsey, where are we at today?
We're at Cedar Creek.
Woohoo! Let's come on now. So, this has actually been a tradition for the past, like, what, 4 years now?
I think it's longer than that.
Yeah. So every year we come today at Cedar Creek because we have a special guest in the house today, Bryce, the owner of the Cedar Creek Beer Co. or Brewing.
Get it right.
I know. I got to get it right.
Cedar Creek Brewing.
You got. We're gonna talk
on
about
the wall.
We're gonna talk about lots of things today because you guys got lots of things going on here since the last time we did a podcast. But Bryce in the house. So Kelsey, Bryce, today, what is so special about today? Anybody can take that one.
Today is the Darkest Achievement 2023 release.
Yes! There's going to be lots of cheers. Lots of cheers today. Calm down, people.
Take that button away from me.
take that button away from you. Now that I know the button, we haven't done a podcast in so long that I had to write down on a Sharpie what these sound effects and these buttons mean.
That's because you're getting old.
Here's Brandon is in the house to Bryce's left.
My right.
Is it your right? Yeah, okay. I don't even know anymore.
Wow.
So there you go. All right, Brandon. Brandon was MIA. We just started, Brandon, so you are just in time. Is this is everything okay? Is your levels okay?
Yes, I'm doing lovely.
Okay, speak again so I can hear.
Sure.
Oh yeah, you're fine. You're on the mark. You're on the mark. So it is a Darkest Achievement Day today, and it's a very special day because a lot of folks come out here that loves you guys' barrel aged beers. Can we explain a little bit about the process and what's it take for you guys to get ready for this event?
What's it take to get ready is a whole different thing than making the beer.
Mm-hmm.
Making the beer is easy. It's a week of brewing.
It's
like
the process.
A literal week of brewing and then getting into a barrel and then sitting and waiting and making sure that it comes out all right. That's the easy part. The not so easy / very, very rewarding part, we'll call it that.
The packaging.
Yeah, the packaging. So this is a 100% hand-bottled, hand-packed product. Like, labels are handwritten, bottles are hand-filled, capped, everything. Kelsey did a great time-lapse video just so you can see what a small segment of what that looks like.
I have yet to see that.
Oh, I'll have to show it to you.
So, what kind of barrels you guys are using?
This year, so it's always bourbon barrels for the DA primary release.
Were they Heaven Hill?
I believe they were this year. They were either Heaven Hill or Old Elk. I'm 90% sure they were Heaven Hills.
Yeah,
yes, they were. They were Heaven Hill barrels. I want to say they were Heaven Hill 10-year barrels. So we kind of adapt based on, one, what the market has available, but two, also what blends well with the base beer, because some years the beer is a little more sweet. We want to balance it out and get a more oaky bourbon flavor to it. Like, so we'll use a Knob Creek. Other years the beer is very, very dry and heavy, so we'll want to go to like a Four Roses barrel like what we did in 2020.
Okay, so every year is like different types of barrels.
Yeah, but the goal is still to get a kind of consistent flavor over the whole process.
So out of all the years you guys been doing this, what's your favorite like barrel? You have one? Or one year better than the other?
2020 right now.
Yeah?
2020 is killer.
What did we do on that one?
That's the Four Roses. That's the ones that we also did the cans that were... That was the pandemic year. That was the plague year.
Oh, yeah.
That was the only year we've canned
DA. That
one
was nice and smooth.
Yeah, that's sweet, smooth.
Straight from the start.
Yep, and it's also the first year we went away from the 20% alcohol, so it was a really nice surprise that it came out that well.
So what made you start this whole, you know, event? What made you think that, like, hey, let's do about 4 or 5 different varieties of barrel-aged stout, and let's release them on the darkest day of the year?
Bryce is crazy enough to listen to me.
Yeah.
truly, like, and I have a huge amount of respect for him because...
Well, just, I mean, trying other beers from other places.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, it's an imperial stout, and, oh, they aged it on this or added this, and it's like, those are all good beers.
Yeah.
Could we do something like this? And just, you know, we started with, I think, the base Russian.
Yeah, the base Russian was 2017. That was an unaged Russian, yeah, which is a very,
then,
very.
Then 18, we aged
beer.
It. And then just.
Oh, went from,
well,
there.
Let's go through and barrel age it, and let's add this, or let's put this in there. And
different, yeah, components, different racking. So, yeah, you look chronologically at all the different variants we've had. Vanilla bean is the original, the OG, the first variant. Coconut's the second. Peanut butter is the third. And then we've had hazelnut, Neapolitan. Yeah. This year we have Wake Me Up, which is a espresso, hazelnut, vanilla, chocolate. And then we also had, this year, for the first time ever, we did a marshmallow version. So, but yeah.
I'm pretty excited for the marshmallow version. Yeah. That caught my eye on your menu. Yeah. I was like, ooh, a marshmallow.
That was one of our surprise releases. We started last year doing what we call surprise drafts, where it's draft only online, like just something really fun for the people who come out for the release. Because now we've started doing, back during the pandemic, doing pre-order, because we were getting busy enough to kind of make it easier for everybody. Just, hey, you don't have to worry about it selling out. You can pick it up in advance, blah, blah, blah. Or you can order it in advance, blah, 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 blah. It's been beneficial both to the customer base and to us for being able to do a pre-order.
Bryce, walk us through the brew day, like the whole process.
Oh, God, help you, buddy.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
The day or the week?
The week.
It's a literal week. He's not exaggerating, by the way.
Well, let's see. This year, I probably would come in at, 3 or 4 in the morning.
So you're here about 3 a.m. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That would suck. I would not want to wake
right
up at
off
3
the bat,
o'clock.
This sucks.
Yeah.
So for a typical boil, this has 2 different mashes, and each of these mashes is more than double what our typical beers are.
Yeah.
So for one batch, it's about, 4 times the amount of grain of...
Give or take, yeah. And what you're saying is it's a no sparge. That's the other big factor. So most breweries, you'll do a sparge where you'll just run your water from your HLT over your mash to extract extra sugar.
Yeah.
But that dilutes it down. It thins it out.
We're just using the water that we mash in with, and once it's in there, just pull that out, empty the mash down.
Fire the next round.
Okay.
Do another mash.
Yeah, it's a no-sparge brew. So Taxman's done a few of those, from advice and from things we've learned over the years, it pays to do a no-sparge. It's very expensive. It's very inefficient, but the product result is very consistent.
Why is it expensive?
Because you're not
you're not getting the efficiency on
your nerdy
on
brew, your sugar,
sugars,
your conversions, your nerdy brew house person here for the moment. So normally our brew house, which we are still in a weird kind of status with our brew house, but our brew house run is normally between like 70% and 80%, which is low for pro brew house, but hey, we're a small nano operation, that happens. Darkest achievement, we're lucky to hit 50% to 52%.
Oh, wow.
And your efficiency are measured as the amount of potential sugar you have from your grain or your grist versus your amount of actual converted sugars. There's ways you can do that. So the way you increase that is by sparging or by doing extended mashes, by enzymes. This beer is so damn big that it truly is a labor of love. Like, that's kind of the joke why the website for it is thebeeroflove.com. Or beerofluff.com.
So you said the sparging might dilute it. So
it thins it out.
You're wanting a big body on this beer.
Oh, yeah. This thing needs to be a big old thick thing.
Yeah, for sure. Man, that's awesome. So what makes you come in so early? Do you want to, because that way you can get out at a decent hour, or just...
That way you can get out.
Okay. Yeah, just being able to get home, see the
family. Yeah, for sure. For schedule, yep.
So I'm not here late at night.
It takes a lot of hours to brew beer for sure. But yeah.
Well, I don't especially know if, this one.
I don't know if I can wake up that early though to brew beer. Do you still get excited brewing the beer, or is it like, I gotta make the donuts, you know?
Well, it's kinda that specific beer, it's like, well, this is gonna be a long week.
Yeah.
But once it's done, it's
Pretty straightforward at that point, except for emptying the barrels.
Yep.
Every year.
Every year.
There's always something.
Yeah, so speaking of Cedar Creek, though, you guys got a new location in Nashville, Indiana now. How's that going?
Hail Kelsey, hail Bryce. Busting their ass this year.
Yeah.
It's going. Nashville's definitely a tourist town, so it's going to have its season. So.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a gorgeous location.
Just a matter of adjusting.
Don't be humble. That location is absolutely jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
Like, that tap room.
I think Nashville needed another beer
strong
location there, because they've had Big Woods or Quaffon, whatever they've had that for a long time. I'm pretty sure the locals around there are pretty excited that another brewery is coming to their town. I would be, for sure. I'd be like, hell yeah, another brewery's coming in? Come on.
Staff get a lot of feedback from people. They're super excited to have another option in town.
Yeah, for sure. They go in that tap room and get... I think you got every one of your beers there?
Yeah. We have more taps there than we have here. So the Martinsville location is 20 taps. That's a 24 tap room.
Wow.
Which now we're not utilizing some.
No,
but
it will be soon.
Here, beginning of the year, all the variants. And I think,
all the variants and everything goes down. All the darkest achievement goes down to Nashville.
Yeah, that was my next question. Is your darkest achievements going down there? That'd be awesome.
It'll get to go live down there on a vacation.
There you go. Man. So even I don't know if you want to talk about this. Do you you distro your beers? Is this the first year that Darkest Achievement is kind of reaching out beyond Cedar Creek?
We distroed last year.
Okay,
bottle stuff probably the last 2 years, I think.
Yeah,
limitedly.
We've sent some bottles and some kegs.
Gotcha.
This year kegs are a little bit more limited.
Mm-hmm.
But we've sent some bottles out.
Oh yeah.
I think just two variant six barrels.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I was gonna say, Kevin. Everyone knows Kevin runs the sinkhole, so Kevin's getting one of them.
Yeah,
he's getting one of them, and then our buddy Sean over at Hoppy Wobbles, he got one of the other variants. So we like to support. I mean, these are long, long-standing business relationships and friends, like of people who have supported us from day one, truly. And so,
well, and just we're limited to
what we can send out,
we even have,
right? For sure, hand, yeah. So. Yeah, I know that since I kind of took over the GM as Sinkhole, we're doing more local things, and I'm getting more Cedar Creek stuff in the Sinkhole. One of the things I noticed right off the bat is, when I get a Cedar, I had an Irish Red, a Peanut Butter Porter in there. I had Inner Space in there. I had...
Backwoods Raspberry?
What's that?
He's had
Backwoods Raspberry. Revival. I've had the Revival, and those things fly.
Breakfast down.
They fly fast. I mean, locals love that beer. They love you guys' beer, and it's good to see, every year you guys are growing more and more and more and more. So, Hoppy Wobbles.
We're still trying to do the Key Lime next year, I think.
Oh,
what, a little Key Lime pie?
For the sour. So it'll be Key Lime.
Nice. And then Hoppy Wobbles on the west side of Bloomington, they always carry your stuff too.
Yep.
And
they're good folks.
Man, yeah, it's great. Heck yeah. All right, so we're going to are we going to taste these beer? We've been talking about these damn Darkest Achievements. We don't even have it in front of us.
Well, that's a problem.
Are we going to
speak for yourself?
Kelsey has a little. Kelsey, what are you? What is that?
Wake me up.
Oh, she got the wake me up. I knew.
Hey, how about
this?
How about we get a couple of beers and then we go through them. I want to taste them. I'm excited. And then we'll do some beer news, and then we'll talk about whatever we want to talk about. I'm excited for the podcast. We've been doing the podcast.
This poor man has needed to be back on the radio.
I know.
All right. So we're going to take a break, and then after that, we'll get into the beers. This podcast is brought to you by the Sinkhole Craft Beer Bar right in Bloomington, Indiana, where you can experience craft beer where you won't find anywhere else around. Trust me here when I say if you want to drink some kick-ass craft beer, the Sinkhole is where to go.
Hey, Hey guys, if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously love craft beer. This is Daryl from the Brews Line, just inviting you to join us for a premium craft beer experience. If you want to see all Indiana's breweries, or at least the ones around Indianapolis, jump on the Brews Line, whether it's a birthday party, an anniversary, or just a bunch of people who want to go drink beer. Brewsline.com, BrewsLine.com. So check us out online. Join us on a brewery tour. Can't wait to see you.
If you like what you're hearing so far, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe for our weekly craft beer adventures. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search OHHAP. That stands for Out Here Having a Pint. Also, you can follow us on our YouTube channel, Out Here Having a Pint. Would you like to support our show? Go to anchor.fm/OHHAP and click our support button. We'll give you a live shout out right on our podcast. Like to sponsor our show? Ask us a question or make a suggestion? Just email us at outherehavingapint@gmail.com.
Craft beer nerds.
This is Kevin from Out Here Having a Pint podcast. Join us bi-weekly as we discuss everything craft beer. We are out here having a pint. We are out here having a pint. Part of the On Draft Network. Now back to the show. Woohoo! We are back. Yeah.
Kevin, I gotta ask, is On Draft even a thing anymore?
Is what it being On Draft?
On Draft Network.
Oh, you know what? No, it's actually
not. I'm just kind of curious.
Thanks for pointing that out to the audience.
They're listening in.
No, I think that it is.
Yeah.
So now we gotta check in on this. We gotta make sure they're okay.
We do gotta check in on that. I know, remember Barrel Age, or Barrel Chat used to have their podcast back. I don't even know if they're doing their podcast anymore.
We're gonna find them out.
Yeah. But the reason why I'm mentioning Barrel Chat is because Matt from Barrel Chat, he was all into that On Draft Network thing.
I like it. It's a great idea.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, for sure. Or actually, that was Pete from the Speak podcast. That was doing the On Draft Network. He wanted to do a whole a hub as far as having videos, podcasts, and all kinds of things. Yeah.
Yeah. There's
anyway.
Some questions.
Yep. All right. That was useless information. Anyway, hey, we are back.
That might get cut. Am I not? You never know.
No, we don't get nothing. Nope. Nothing gets cut here. We just ramble on. This is what happens at Outta Here Having a Pint. Yeah, we're live right out here at Cedar Creek in Martinsville, Indiana. So we're about to taste some, barrel aged. Darkest Achievement beer. So I have three beers in front of us. We have the marshmallow, the peanut butter, and then I chose the Wake Me Up.
Are
that's
you going to drink all that?
Brennan, Kelsey,
I'm waiting for it.
I'm going to share. I'm going to share.
Be driving home.
Yeah, I'm going to share. What, you think I can't drink all
He's
these
small
little,
but mighty.
What are these, 4 ounces
five.
In here? They're 5 ounce pours? Okay.
Each one's a shot of vodka. Think about it that way.
And they're almost 15%, right?
14 to 15.
Running around here naked.
Yeah, they're between 14 to 15%.
That's nothing new, Kelsey.
Yes. What? Run around naked?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that might happen. And me getting arrested right here at Cedar Creek.
Please don't.
Please no.
I will laugh.
I work here.
I get handcuffed.
Bryce, I find this funny.
And they're like, that's Kelsey's husband, by the way.
No, no.
I'll be on the paper.
No, Kelsey would deny that at
I
that point.
I would already have gone to the courthouse and filed for divorce.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to try this first one here. I mixed them up, so I have no idea what these are.
Oh,
so.
That's going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... I don't even know.
Let me see.
This has to be...
I like how Kelsey and I are...
That's the marshmallow.
Like,
I think that's the marshmallow. So, if it's a marshmallow, let's talk about that.
Because you got what? Marshmallow, Wake Me Up, and...
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter jelly time, maybe.
I think that's the marshmallow version. Or it might be the... Okay, hold on. Let me taste all three of these. Hold on.
That is not marshmallow.
Mm.
What is wrong with you?
All right, damn it, now I'm confused. I don't even know.
He probably has COVID. And then
yes,
you tried
I have
it.
COVID. I have COVID.
I'm immune. I drink enough high alcohol, high proof alcohol. I'm fine.
Okay, what I have right now is peanut butter. Those two.
This is marshmallow. That's Wake Me Up, and that's peanut butter.
Okay, yep. this is what?
Marshmallow.
Okay, give me the Wake Me Up. All right. For the people that's listening, we just got confused on what was what
Even
because
if he did
I mixed
have COVID,
them up.
That shit will kill it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, it does. That's the benefit of it.
I had a taste of each one just now.
Call it the pandemic editor.
The Rona.
The Rona. Man, COVID is like ancient now. Why are we still talking about COVID? That's all ancient news. It's like,
I wish it was.
Yeah, for sure. I know folks that got COVID like
my wife
last month.
Yes. Yeah.
So still running around.
Yeah.
You know? Wow.
I tested clean. I tested clean every day. So yeah, I know. Bree had it. Bree had COVID and the flu for the same time during Thanksgiving. You know what was awesome? I didn't have to have Thanksgiving dinner at my house. It was great.
Wow.
I love my family. I love my family, but
you've
holy
just given me a whole other idea.
Oh, I bet I did.
Hey, I missed that. I missed the word. If you had COVID, you definitely had to take 2 weeks off of work.
So, yeah, it's only 5 days now. Yeah, it's only 5 days.
And no one questioned it. They're like, I got COVID. They're like, okay, you're off 2 weeks.
Stay away, baby.
Hell yeah, let's go to Florida.
Oh, Jesus.
We just got vacation,
baby.
Well,
I mean, that's the COVID zone anyhow, so it's fine. Anyhow.
Holy shit.
It wasn't that funny.
Florida. I thought it was. We take a jab at Florida, you know. We're about to go to Florida, actually. Anyway, let's talk about the beer. God dang it. Listen, this is amazing. So I tasted all three of these.
He's only drank two sips.
I'm drunk already. Mom, pick me up.
Anyone can pick him up.
I tasted all three of these really quickly, and I noticed one thing about all three of those. The body, we was talking about the body earlier and no sparging and stuff like that. There's body there. Yeah, thick. Yeah.
I don't like it when it gets thin, especially on a high gravity beer. That's one of those, like, I consider that personally a sin when you have a high gravity alcohol or a high gravity beer, and it's like, oh, da da da, and it's like, this is water.
Yeah,
especially for a stout. And I get why that is. I get why you're doing it. But no, especially in a stout, I'm like, no, you need to chew through that thing.
So why call it a stout, though, if it's thin?
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know what else.
I mean,
to be fair, what are you, gravity brown ale?
It's a dark brown ale.
Yeah, exactly.
A bad decision. There we go. The bad decision ale, the BDA.
So if you put that into like a competition, would it?
It will get scored down. But the thing is that like body is such a minimal score point on it. It's not a score of 50.
Yeah.
Like at least if you're going by BJCP scores. Body is, I think it's like a score out of 5.
Mm.
So, oh no, it's thin. You get 0 points out of 5. You still have 45 points you can make.
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you about this marshmallow one I have right now. It's really good. Man, these are all good. All these like dark achievements.
I'm not a BA drinker.
But these are good. This is good. It's like delicious. It's like chocolatey. It's a little bit sweet. It's not boozy at all. It's like it goes down so smooth. It's great.
Kevin's in trouble.
Yeah. So, you guys, how should I pour this at my own tap room? Should I pour this into a little 4 ounce, or do you think an 8 or a 5 ounce, or do you think an 8 ounce would be too high?
You can do an 8. You can absolutely do an 8. If we had 8 ounces here, I'd say we'd honestly probably serve 8 ounce draft pours.
That's what I was thinking.
The max I would ever do on this thing is 10.
Yeah,
like a 10 ounce goblet. Anything over that, you're in trouble.
But also, we do the flights here.
Yeah, you're doing flights, so they're getting like a lot of beer anyway, right?
Right, exactly. So. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're looking for single pour options, this is an 8 to 10 ounce max. You would never, my God, if you serve someone a pint of this, which by the way, Shallows used to do, which was even more.
Oh, there's another business here in town that used to also do that.
Yeah, they used to pour pints of this thing at 15 to 20.
Oh my God! Yeah,
that's a bad decision.
That's their decision, and the bartender, God help them. Like,
well, I know some tap rooms, like mine, for instance, will serve. We have a limit of 2, so if you're doing 8 ounces, so you're having a full 16 ounce of it. But I guess that's just one. You know what I mean? One full 16, which I think is still a lot.
So for reference point, a 16 ounce pour of this, on the low end, a 16 ounce pour is 3 shots of vodka worth of alcohol.
Yeah.
So yep. God help, like I said, yeah. God help you and your bartenders. Mm-mm. Like, no, mm-mm. that's a lot to have in a glass.
Yeah,
I mean, at the same time, a cocktail, martinis, 2 shots of vodka.
That's what I'm saying.
I can see it. The other thing that helps is it's like so thick and viscous. You're not going to be able to put it back like a martini.
You'll be full.
Oh yeah, well, That's something that an Underberg would fix for the bloat.
Oh, no.
Yeah, if we had Underbergs here. So are you guys thinking about getting Underbergs here?
God, I'd love them.
I think we need to.
Yes, I think it'd be a great dynamic for this brewery, man. It'd
D-A-B.
Be awesome.
D-A-B, baby. Yeah. Dark Achievement Bergs.
Oh, man. Yeah, so Underbergs has been really a staple of ours. And then I know the new brewery in Bloomington, they have
Heartworks, baby.
Underbergs at Heartwork. We're actually going to interview them next week. So our next episode will be the Heartwork Brewery.
Dan, we love you.
Yeah. But, man, I think, yeah, Underbergs is the way to go. You'll sell a ton of that shit, for sure.
Here it'll get interesting. Here yeah. I can think it very interesting.
I don't know if it would catch on.
Oh, it's going to catch on. It'll catch on.
Here's the thing. I think with our regular, like our true regulars, once they understand what a burg is, and that it's like, and it's the burg, like an Underberg is 100% a community thing.
Yeah. No one bergs alone.
No one bergs alone.
That's right.
And everyone hates them. Let's not lie. Yeah, for sure. They all taste like crap.
Yeah.
I like them.
They're like a Walmart version of a Jägermeister, basically. I like them. You like them? Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Hey, Kelsey.
Do you like Malort?
Christmas.
Never
no? Okay. All right. Malort is...
You've never had Malort.
Oh, wow.
That's
we need to
go places with you, Brandon.
We need to have him try Malort and see if he likes Malort.
Let me ask you this. Do you like wet cardboard garbage and dirty socks?
Yeah.
Let me try this.
I would probably throw up.
I was going to say, if Satan strained his jockstrap after running a marathon into a bottle, would he be okay with it?
Yeah.
No. It was recently brought up on another craft beer board, like a messaging board. Someone was like, oh, you know, Malort, it's a terrible idea. I was like, and I said, and someone brought up what's called the Chicago handshake, which is a tradition in Chicago. And that is you throw back a shot of Malort and you chug an old style after.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Sweet Mother God, it's a terrible thing, but I will never let anyone speak it down. Ugh. It is a great combination.
I tell this story a lot. It wasn't Chili Water. It was Kuma's.
Kuma's Corner, baby.
Yeah, and Kuma's Corner.
Do the Chicago handshake. Oh, the Scottish woman?
Well, the guy's like, hey, I know you guys are in the industry. I want to buy you guys a round of Malort. And I'm like,
of all
yeah,
the things,
baby.
I was like,
yes.
Do you hate
100%.
Us?
100%. No, yes, 100%.
Do you hate us?
I was Bring like, it what? On.
Is it?
The fact that I have like special edition like barrel pick Malorts is a thing. Yeah, I just got judged. It's fine. The look that all the rest of you gave me.
You dirty bastard.
I have Revolution Brewing Company Malort. Where they turn their IP into Malort. Oh, it's so good. Don't even. I'm going to have to put it in flasks and give it out for, you know, white elephant gifts.
Bryce, what's your favorite Darkest Achievement flavor? I probably asked you this earlier, didn't I?
No, he didn't. Okay. You didn't. What's your?
Someone asked me. I think I had told them just the. I like the base.
The base.
Yep.
Just so the aromas. I could sit there and sniff it for.
I got last year's base.
Well, I'll just turn it into a candle. I'm not even kidding.
What?
Like turn it into a candle.
You could turn these into a candle.
Oh yeah, I know ways you could. Yeah, I know ways you could.
Do you guys make candles here?
We used to. Long time ago. Yep. Melissa used to.
Yeah, you could. That could be a thing, man. Like your beer, like beer candles.
The DAC, the candle, the achievement candle.
Yep.
We just be worried about people trying to wax dip the bottle in the candle.
Or you can make soap. You can make soap out of Darkest Achievement.
I'm not opposed. It's fun.
What a perfect way to start your morning than to
wash yourself down with barrel aged goodness.
Y'all need to calm down. We're still trying to just get through making the Darkest Achievement itself.
No yeah. Kidding.
All right. Hey, you guys want to get into some brews news?
Oh,
we got like a ton of crap to talk about for beer news.
Let's burn this.
All right. All right, let's go
We're going live, baby.
We're going live. Let's do some beer news. Let's do some beer news.
This is not official news, Airman. As far as I'm concerned, it didn't happen.
Look, I report the news. That's what I do.
Well, do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
I'm putting you on the news, you dirty bastard! I'm putting you on the news, you dirty bastard. I'm putting you on the news.
All right. This is a segment called Brews News where we talk about beer news from, you know, here and afar.
Kevin,
you
know? I'm so sad that you don't have a sound effect where it's the sounding of taps, because that's what we need is a trumpet sound of taps.
That is true.
Because the amount of places that have died in the last 3 months or are on their death knell.
Oh, but I got you. Here's taps. Just like that? Just like that? Yeah. See what I did there?
In post,
that's where I'm putting the tap song.
Oh God, yes, you need it.
Yeah. All right.
All right. First of all, raise a glass to the people, the places that died. Scarlet Lane, two locations.
Ooh, Scarlet Lane from Indiana. So we're doing local here in Indiana.
Yeah, we are. Yep. I was gonna say Scarlet Lane, two locations. Let's keep running down the list. Rumored to die. Hold on, this is gonna be a conversation. Switchyard on their death knell or not?
I don't know, man. Do you think it's like a last ditch effort to be like, listen, if we don't get help, this might happen. Please donate.
Like, I get where they're going with it.
Well, yep.
They missed by 30% almost.
Yeah.
And it's disappointing because, hey, no one wants to see anyone fail. Let's call it next tap, Viking.
Yeah.
Viking, yep.
Yep.
They're dead. Who else? Or
what's the brewery called? It's called
Viking Artisan Ales.
Viking Artisan Ales is like they closed their doors.
Yeah,
yeah.
They were one of the probably one of the best known like sour slash slushy. Yeah.
We've never been there. But Brian Nintrop from Hoosier Brewing told me
they're well known.
I need to visit there.
Yeah. They're well known. Yeah. You know, I was gonna say if you're looking at that slush like. They also are known for gluten-free options, which is sad to see that die. Mm. Outside of Indiana, nearby, one of the most iconic, the Clybourne location of Goose Island, which if you've not heard that story, mm-mm, look it up, because the number of brewers who hung out at that Goose Island location that they've now shut down, it probably is one of the foundations of the craft beer industry in the entire United States. Not exaggerating. Like, they've been around for years, and they're shutting it down. And it is so very sad.
Hey, you mentioned gluten-free things. So I noticed when Kelsey and I, we went to Berlin, they had a bunch of gluten-free options there.
God bless them.
And then our taproom, we have a number of people that come in and they want gluten-free beer. So I think it's getting popular, like gluten-free or even like gluten-reduced for sure.
Or crafted to remove gluten. Yep.
Yeah.
Bryce is looking for an exit strategy because I've been talking to him about this for like 3 months.
And I'm also eyeballing him because I've also looked at him and he's like, hey, what do we need to do this? I said, a separate brew house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a commitment.
It is a commitment,
but there is a...
There's an audience for it. There is an industry for it.
You're right.
But it's not a...
I mean, I get people in there, it's like, hey, do you have this gluten-free beer, blah, blah, blah. And if I run out, they're like, oh, I don't know any other place that I can get, you know, gluten-free beers except... Especially like they go to especially Big places, Red, you know, stuff like that. But I have it readily available for them in cold. It's cold in our cooler, and they just order it. Man, I have to like keep up on that demand for the gluten-free folks. Yeah,
it's a whole market, and I get it. I get it. But from a producer side, people don't understand. Like, if you want to truly gluten-free is one thing. Gluten-free is horrifying in the brewery industry because that means you can't even reuse hoses.
Yeah.
Gaskets, hoses, and nothing. Your brew house cannot have touched basic beer.
Yeah.
Not a single bit of it. It has to be. Now, crafted to remove gluten, much easier. Much, much easier. And that, I think, what you'll see in the next, I would guess, 2 years from laboratory testing and things like that will become a much more popular niche segment because crafted to remove like gluten can mean that you can send your stuff out. There's enzymes have come up now scientifically that are like, hey, this eats the gluten out of it. You're probably fine, even if you're celiac, et cetera, but you're going to have to pay for the lab certification.
So what about breweries that are making seltzers or brewing seltzers? How's that different? Because seltzers like is gluten-free.
Sure. Mic dropping on that because same idea. If you're cross-contaminating equipment, it's not gluten-free. If you are using your same brew house and your same equipment and your same seals, you're still not gluten-free.
Wow.
If it truly says gluten-free, you have to not cross-con.
Some of those are going to be distilled products.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Is it's distilled product or it is... Indiana is a little weird. Indiana still is a little weird because we have questions about what you can do to create a seltzer and to make it gluten-free and still be able to brew it under a beer license is the weird part. Yeah. You can actually usually get under a wine license easier than a beer license, which is
everyone's strange. A little different, too. Like people with celiacs, some are so bad they can't even walk into a place that makes pizza dough because it'll make them...
Yep, 100%. Well, yeah, and that's the key is that where are you at? Are you sensitive or are you celiac? Like, celiac...
that's why when someone walks in here and they're like, do you have gluten-free options? And my first question is, are you celiac or are you sensitive? If you're celiac, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, step away right now, because it's that there's a difference in levels. You're exactly right, Kelsey.
Yeah, I'm so I get confused with that. I'm like, what?
Your answer to that point, Kevin, is yeah. Please step
yeah.
back.
Yeah, well, it's like maybe you shouldn't drink beer. I don't know.
People get pissed because they're like, you know, ciders are gluten-free. Well, if you like beer, you're probably not really going to want a cider.
No.
Everybody doesn't want ciders just because they're gluten-free. That doesn't mean that they like ciders or have to like ciders.
No, yeah. They just want they want to have an option.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Another beer news is also...
Metalworks,
yeah. So I heard they was like closing, but they're actually not. They're just looking for another
brewer. Yeah, they're looking for another brewer.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, they're looking for a new resource, so there's that.
Because we drove by there last night, and then I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Metalworks in Bloomington, Indiana, it's still open. Who told me it was closed? Because there's a number of people told me that it was closed. I'm like, what? So, yeah.
So, other beer news.
There was
also Sound Taps and Raise a Glass, if you got one. Nathan Finney.
Oh, yeah.
Nathan Finney.
From the tap.
Owner of the Finney. Well, not just the tap, the Finney group.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, truly. Yeah. Like, I mean, you're talking Smokeworks, you're talking the tap, you're talking... The guy reformed the entire downtown of Bloomington. Passed away in a tragic accident. Huge deal. Like, very, very sad story. So
he just got his, like, pilot's license, too. Yeah. And he was with one of the...
One of the trainers.
Yeah. Like, the...
Yep. He bought a new plane.
Brand new plane. So I haven't like looked
the investigation.
Yeah.
Side note, sad thing, and there's no exaggeration. It's a sad thing with that because if you look at craft beer in the area of Bloomington, Indianapolis, he's got to be in the top five of people who have like pushed the needle on that industry.
Yeah.
So very sad for him and his family. They've been doing a couple initiatives. They came out with the Finney IPA, West Coast IPA, which is going to be supporting some charities. Huge.
And I didn't know that, so I bought the West Coast.
Hell yeah,
now, buddy. So it's coming to
Sinkhole.
Awesome
idea to support that thing. So yeah. he's always been an awesome dude. It's a really, really sad thing to see. So, I'm trying to think of like. The saddest part is I'm sitting here going, we've had so long for a podcast now.
Right.
It's like, okay, who else has died?
Yeah.
And that's the saddest part is because we all know places that were like, okay, oh yeah, that tap room kicked it. Pint Room in Carmel, dead just recently. They just announced that after 10 years.
Oh yeah, we went there.
Oh yeah.
The Pint Room. That's dead?
Well, yeah, died this week.
Wow, I did not know that.
Sound taps on that.
Oh my God. Shit. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, they kicked it this week. They said they're done.
Wow, I don't know why they're done because I mean Carmel's like a pretty
up and coming.
I mean, yeah, I mean there's a lot of people there, so I mean I'm pretty sure. Why do you think it happens? I don't understand it. I really don't. Maybe they didn't get the profits they thought they was gonna get, and they was like, you know what?
Expensive real estate. Let's not lie.
That's true too. Do you want to
pay rent in Carmel?
That true. Places just keep opening.
Yeah.
Yeah, competition.
Everybody wants a newer thing.
Yep. And then they open up, and then they're there for maybe a year or so, and they're like, you know what?
To kick someone else old out.
And they're like, you know what? This is not what's
Kevin,
cracked up to
be. Nervous.
And they're like, we're out. So, yeah. Man, that's why we try to like support everything. Like we try to go to different breweries, different tap rooms. We all need to stick together. I mean, like, take for instance the pandemic. Like we all really supported each other, especially in the craft beer world. We went a lot of places.
I know. It cracks me up because I wore one of my Cedar Creek shirts to a brewery the other day, and I walked in, and this guy turns around, and he's like, you're in a different territory. You're like, you're over here with your enemies. And I was just like, there's
enemies,
no enemies
kids.
In the craft beer industry.
Enemies of craft beer. That's
enemies. Who said he's got enemies? The gabagoo is about to come up.
That's how other people that don't work in the industry think about it. They're just like, oh, you're over here on another
different turf. You're on a wrong turf.
Yeah, and I'm like, no. If it wasn't for them, none of us would really even exist. There wouldn't be a demand for what we do.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we talk a lot about places that are closing, but we need to talk and praise a lot about the places that are sticking around.
Absolutely.
Hey. Freaking Broad Ripple Brew Pub.
Oh my God.
We haven't been, like we were talking about, you know, I love that place. We haven't had podcast in a while. Mm-hmm. Oldest craft brew pub in the state. Celebrated major anniversary, over the recent time. Like, hell yeah.
that's a place that needs to be recognized.
Yeah.
Truly one of the OGs.
OG, that's what I'm saying. Yep, OG. Yeah, I love that place.
And also, I'll say this. God, I hate saying this. Three Floyds is reopening a tap room. Fuck Three Floyds.
Yes. Fuck Three Floyds. We don't care about Three Floyds.
You can hate me as much as you want.
Yeah. Yep.
But yep. The fact that... But I'll also give... Yep. I'll give a...
Fatality.
Yes. I will still 100% comment about the fact that...
Didn't we they, just... We talked about unity. We did in the We back. Just talked about unity. And you we just went right to like, fuck Three Floyds.
But let's just comment about this.
I love
this.
It. Yeah,
they,
yeah.
They went back. It. They tried to go distro only. And the amount of demand for a tap room for them and their ethos in their tap room.
Yeah.
If you've been to Kumo's or Kuma's, Three Floyds is the same idea. Yeah. Hard rock, heavy metal bar. Three Floyds is there. They realized that there was a place in the market for that, and they decided to reopen. So I'm not going to knock them on that. Like, hey, shit. You decided that you've got a place in this industry, and they have a history. That's my big point. As like, if you talk the history of craft beer in Indiana, if you can exclude Three Floyds, you're blind. Yeah. Like, Three Floyds, Sun King, Broad Ripple Brew Pub, they're up there for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even if you want to go to, you know, the Bloomington Brewing Company, like, some of the actual true fundamental, you know, who are the guys who started it?
Yeah.
And they're in there. You like them or not, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I hate them. It's fine.
Hate's a strong word.
I morally dislike them because they're douchebags. How about that? How about this? I dislike the way they treat their customers.
Okay. True enough.
There
true
we
enough.
Go. They insult their customers to try and obtain business.
All right. Well, let's circle back to... now we're going to circle back to you guys, for sure, the Cedar Creek. Are you guys satisfied how the Dark Achievements, the beers turned out? Because I'm finishing on my last one. This is the
and
peanut
not,
butter.
You're not a DH or you're not a barrel drinker. I know. So I'm very, very nervous for your liver,
So
Kevin.
This is the peanut butter one, and this is good, too. I think they're all great. This is great. I'm now drunk. No, I'm just kidding. But, it's a great beer. So it turned... I think it turned out great.
Oh, he's good.
I like this year's stuff.
Yeah. This year is good. This year is really, really nice. Yeah. It's mild, like more mild than some of the years we've had, I think.
Yeah.
Like occasionally we'll get things that are a little more woody or hot from the ABV. This year is pretty good. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty balanced.
Exactly. It is balanced. It's like I can drink it. Like if you don't normally gravitate towards barrel-aged beers and, you know, come out here to Cedar Creek, man, and try these, because I'm drinking it. Come on now. I don't even drink barrel-aged beers, but I'm drinking these beers.
Good
right
God,
now.
This good. Yeah. This guy can drink 2 pints of water and he's going to get drunk.
All right, we're out here at Cedar Creek. So, guys, if you want to try the Darkest Achievements, they have a number of variety.
11.
Yeah. Yeah, you got 11
on
tap.
Turn this bitch up to 11.
Yeah. Yep. And great beer for sure. Another year, guys. We did it. Another podcast. Another year here at Cedar Creek. I'm glad you guys sat down with us. And you guys don't even have beers right now. Yeah, Brandon doesn't have a beer.
I'm so sad.
Bryce is just sipping. Here's mine. Everybody grab this little
Puff.
This little bit of 5 ounce pours of this barrel aged beers that we've been drinking. All right. So at the end of every episode, what do we say? Cheers, you little craft beer nerds. Woohoo!